going to talk about money and worry this morning, topics that I think exercise us all from time to time. Winston Churchill once said, saving is a very fine thing, especially when your parents have done it for you. All right for some, eh? Nelson Mandela said, money won't create success, but the freedom to make money will create success. There's no doubt about it, money matters. And Jesus has things to say about it that are more important for us to hear today than ever before. Nelson Mandela said that the freedom to make money has created undeniable success. And it has. It has transformed our world beyond recognition. Through extraordinary levels of innovation, we live longer, healthier lives. Think of COVID vaccines, for example. Despite recent inflation, food is readily available at more affordable prices than it often has been throughout history. Energy, communication, transportation have kept us safe and warm. It enabled us to live together and build relationships across the world. But that's not true for everyone. Far from it. Recent research has shown that Cambridge is the most unequal city in the UK. Surprised? It's true. Mental health problems have become widespread. Many people are just about managing, or to be more honest, not managing at all. There is enough to go around, but we hoard it. We haven't thought enough about our impact on the planet, on the climate, on other species. Bluntly, we've placed each other in peril. And money wisely spent will be needed to sort out all these problems. Think about universal basic incomes, the transition to sustainable energy, high-quality education freely available online. Money matters. So what does Jesus have to say about money? Quite a lot, as it turns out. And his words may make us squirm, but we need to hear them. Like water in the desert, they can transform our lives. So our passage begins, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus encourages us to store up things that will last. In his day, fine clothes were highly prized. Not so different to today, perhaps. And moths can destroy, at least they certainly can in our house. There is no permanence to possessions. Think burglars, seductive online scams. Ever been caught out by those? Yes. Those oh-so-plausible phone calls who just want to check one or two details about your bank account. Jesus says it is foolish to make earthly treasures the center of our being. Instead, if we are wise, we will build our happiness on things that cannot be lost, things that transcend life's trials and tribulations. Jesus encourages us to store up treasure in heaven. What we selfishly hoard, we will lose ultimately. What we generously give away builds treasure in heaven. The early church loved caring for the sick, the helpless, the poor, the distressed, the outcast. Have we sometimes lost that instinct? Treasure in heaven is also about good character that endures and has lasting value. We cannot be devoted to God if we are devoted to money and the things it can buy. If money makes us tick, it will be like seawater. The more we drink of it, the thirstier we will get. Acquiring the latest this or that will not provide lasting happiness, despite our heartfelt longing and what the adverts tell us. Let us not lose our hearts to this world, what John Stott calls the materialism that tethers our hearts to the earth. Bless you. Although we can only see God's kingdom in part, let's live in a way that brings it closer. Jesus tells us that where our heart is, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. If our heart is set in God's kingdom, then we will bring it closer. Our passage goes on. The eye is the light, the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? These verses talk about the eye as the organ that brings light into our bodies, illuminating every corner of what we are and what we do. Now, not all of us can see, or not well, but this verse can help us all. Will we allow our lives to be illuminated and transformed by God's love? Coming back to money, jealousy can easily distort our vision and can twist our relationships. There's nothing like generosity for giving us a clear view of life and the people around us. Nothing like a grudging and ungenerous spirit for distorting our outlook. Of course, generosity is not just about looking, but acting. An ounce of action is better than a pound of good intentions or kind thoughts. Our passage goes on. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Either God is undisputed master of our lives, or we live for material possessions. Our service of God must be wholehearted. We cannot be devoted to God and to possessions. As Bob Dylan sang, you've got to choose somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you've got to choose somebody, and he's right. Service of God is no part-time affair, but something that calls for our fullest devotion. So, what place should material possessions have in our lives? In the end, all things belong to God. All we can really say is, this belongs to God, and he has given it to me for use. Possession of wealth is not a sin, but it is a grave responsibility. If we have it, we must ask God what he wants us to do with it. Also, people are more important than things. They really are. If we acquire wealth by trampling other people, then such riches are wrong. Now, the Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil, despite what some people will tell you. Rather, it says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. If we desire things for an honourable independence, to help our families and do good to others, then that is a fine thing. If wealth becomes the thing we live for, then it has taken over the place that is rightfully God's. Our passage goes on. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is forbidding worry. Worry in the sense of that careworn, anxious fear that sucks all the joy out of life. Know that feeling? Worry doesn't help us and can most surely hurt us. It can make our lives miserable. Worry can make us blind to the blessings we have and turn us in on ourselves. Jesus is not saying that we should be thoughtless, careless, reckless. We should go about our daily life and work with care. We should run our businesses profitably. We should have prudent foresight for how we live, a serenity and trust in God's providence. God has given us life. We can trust him for the lesser things, food and drink and clothes. God cares for the world around us, for the wildlife, the plants, and most surely for us. There is no need for us to be consumed by worry. Worry cannot add an hour to our lives. Indeed, worry can make us ill and even shorten our lives. But I need to say something here. Not everyone in our community has enough of the basic things of life, and that can cause great anguish. Last year, the Cambridge Food Bank served 14,000 different people. That's a shocking number, isn't it? That ought to make us sit up and pay attention. Yet surely if we live the sort of generous lives that we talked about a moment ago, there will be enough to go round, enough for everyone to thrive within the carrying capacity of our planet. So we are not to worry, but what are we to do instead? Our passage tells us we are to seek first, put first, God's kingdom and his righteousness. Our God is already the ruler of the universe. His kingdom is already coming, and one day that will be clear to all. And we are to do what the king commands. We belong together. We have a responsibility for each other. We are promised the endless, loving care of our Heavenly Father, even in our darkest hour and our deepest need. And that light and love can transform our lives beyond recognition. So in closing, Jesus' teaching about money is tough, isn't it? But let us take heart. He knows exactly what it's like to be tempted. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Through God's grace, may we be devoted to him, store up treasure in heaven, and be generous to those around us. Let us trust God so that we no longer need to worry about life. Rather, let us seek his kingdom so that it may come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for listening.
Amen.